Good afternoon. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Tuesday, May 16th. I should have asked Senator Von Imhoff.
That's right.
If you're joining us off-net or online, we're in Juneau, Alaska, the state capitol, room 532. I'm co-chairman Anna McKinnon with me almost this evening. Co-chairman Hoffman.
Good evening, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good evening, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good evening, Madam Chair.
Senator Michicki.
Good evening, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good evening, Madam Chair.
Senator Hughes.
Good evening, Madam Chair.
Now that we've established it is evening, thank you, Senators. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin?
Is there a motion to adjourn in order?
Senator Hoffman, we have been on the floor with the other body for some time. On today's agenda, we have House Bill 132. It's the CS for House Bill 132, Labor and Commerce. It's backslash I. Representative Wohl is on the House floor still. We have with us this evening, Laura Steidolf. Ms. Steidolf, if you could introduce yourself for the record, please provide an overview of the bill before us.
Good evening, Madam Chair and members of Senate Finance. Thank you for having us here tonight. I'll keep this brief. I know you've heard this bill before, or the companion bill. House Bill 132 allows transportation network companies to operate in Alaska by clarifying the law, the Workers' Compensation Act in Alaska by exempting TNC drivers. The changes between the House bill version I and Senate Bill 14 version I.A, which was passed out of this committee, there are a few changes. In the first five sections, there are no changes. And I can go ahead and go forward. If you'd like me to, would you like me to do a brief overview of the first five sections?
We would.
Okay. Section 1 describes the legislative intent of the bill, which is to clarify the Alaska Workers' Compensation Act and its relationship to transportation network companies by exempting transportation network company drivers. Section 2 offers immunity to the state if civil action is taken against a transportation network company. Section 3 amends AS 2196 by adding a new section relating to transportation network company insurance provisions. It allows for automobile insurance riders to exclude any driver who is logged on to the digital network of a transportation network company or while a driver provides a ride. Section 4 amends AS 2330-230A to exclude transportation network company drivers from the Alaska Workers' Compensation Act. Section 5 amends AS 2330-230C by adding the definition of digital network, prearranged ride, transportation network company, and transportation network company driver. Section 6 does have some differences from the other body's version, but I'll start with it amends AS 28 by adding a new chapter, Chapter 23, Transportation Network Companies and Drivers. AS 28-23-10 relates to fares collected by transportation network companies for services. AS 2823-30 governs identification requirements for transportation network company vehicles and drivers. AS 2823-40 requires electronic receipts. AS 2823-50 sets insurance requirements for transportation network companies and drivers.
We have a question, if you could hold. Senator Michicki.
I may have missed part of that, but the sentences below say no difference. I'm trying to understand that. You said a new section was added.
Senator Michicki, this is compared to the Senate bill that went out. This is a companion bill. Is that accurate?
Madam Chair, that is correct.
Your question again, Senator Michicki?
Madam Chair, I'm not confused about that part. My confusion is she said that there was a new section, but all of the items say no difference so far. So is Section 6 the same, or are there differences in Section 6 as well?
Senator Michicki, if you continue to the next page, the 2823 When we get to 2380 and start covering that, then there'll be new changes that she'll go through at that point.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
AS 282360, this is Laura Steidoff, staff to Representative Wohl, requires transportation network companies to provide automobile insurance disclosures to drivers. AS 282370 requires that transportation network companies file a certificate of insurance with the Division of Insurance. AS 282380 provides that transportation network companies are not employers and that drivers are independent contractors, not employees. And it exempts this section, and this section actually, 282380 does have a change, and we added language to it, which was by request of the U.S. Department of Labor Unemployment Insurance Division. They made a request to the Alaska Department of Labor, and this was to conform this statute to federal tax law. This was in order to preserve the tax credits now available to Alaska employers. This provision needed to be added to make it clear that the state unemployment tax must be paid for all employees of state and local governments, Indian tribes, and nonprofit organizations. Any exclusion from the definition of employment must not apply to these entities.
Are there questions from committee members on that request? Please continue.
AS 282390 requires implementation of a zero-tolerance drug and alcohol policy. AS 282100 does have a few changes. It was very similar to the legislation that was passed out of this body, the amendment that was made, and we just tightened up the language a little bit to include, so it sets transportation network company drivers requirements and ensures that if someone is on the U.S. Department of Justice's sex offender registry that they are disqualified from being a TNC driver. It also has a 7-year criminal look back, so if any driver has had a unclassified Class A or Class B felony in the last 7 years, they will be disqualified. If they've had a violent crime against another person, both misdemeanor or felony, they will be disqualified. If they have had a DUI while operating a watercraft, aircraft, or motor vehicle, or refusal to submit to a chemical test, or leaving the scene in the last 7 years, they will be disqualified. And in the last 3 years for their driving history, if they've had 3 moving violations in the last 3 years, they will be disqualified. If they have not rendered assistance after an accident, if they have reckless or negligent driving on their record, or if they fail to stop at the direction of a peace officer, they will be disqualified. There was also language added that the driver must be 21 years of age, and that change was made due to current statute regarding alcohol and marijuana laws in Alaska in case a substance was left behind in the vehicle. So they wouldn't be in, the driver would not be in possession as a minor of an illegal substance at that age. And we also clarified that a driver may not solicit a ride or accept a street hail. They may only provide a prearranged ride through the TNC platform and may not solicit or accept cash payments other than tips. And that was just to make it clear that they do not operate like a taxi does. AS 282305 was added. And that is a 19-point vehicle inspection, and it's very similar to terms of service by a couple of the bigger companies like Uber and Lyft. But in case another company were to try to operate in Alaska, it is clear in statute that their vehicles must be up to those standards as well. And we also added that a vehicle must be 12 years old or newer. And AS 282310 relates to mandatory rules and policies governing non-discrimination accessibility protected under AS 1880210. AS 282320 provides for maintenance of records. The change in that was made, it was 1 year that the TNC company had to keep their records, and we changed it to 2 years. And AS 282330 is additional language added to the bill, and it's the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities may, under AS 215, enter into a contract, lease, or other arrangement with the TNC for use of an international airport owned or operated by the state. This was by request of the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to have some control over Ted Stevens International Airport and Fairbanks International Airport. AS 2923180 provides definitions for this chapter. AS 2823190 states that the short title of this chapter may be cited as the Transportation Network Companies Act. Section 7 amends AS 2910-200 to add paragraph 66, adding AS 2935-148, regulation of transportation network companies or drivers as home rule prohibitions on acting otherwise. Section 8 is a new section that has, there's been added language to this section. Amends AS 2935 by adding AS 2935-148, which provides that the authority to regulate transportation network companies and transportation network company drivers is reserved to the state. And we also added that an imposition of a municipal sales tax may be imposed on a TNC by a municipality originating in the municipality that the trip leaves from. And we also added that municipal traffic ordinances must be followed, and that if a municipality would like to opt out of TNC services within their municipality, it can be done so by a vote of the people in a regular general election. Section 9, this act takes effect immediately.
Are there questions from committee members? Senator Michiki.
I just have one. I have a difficult time believing that Section 8 is enforceable. Could you give me a little bit of background on the logic behind the sales tax when you've got rides that can originate outside of the municipality that ends in the municipality, or rides that begin in the municipality and end outside of the municipality? How do we believe that that's an enforceable statute?
Senator Michiki, through the chair, the bill sponsor spoke to two of the major companies involved with TNCs, both Uber and Lyft, and they have policy teams that will go in and meet with each municipality to work out how this will work. And with their technology geo-tracking within a municipality, they can see where the trip originated from, and their platform can then apply a tax to the fare.
Madam Chair.
Senator Michiki.
And I have not been through the bill yet. This is the first I've seen it, and I don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but does the language clarify that it's the point of origin that defines whether or not it's taxable?
Yes, Senator Michiki, through the chair, page 14, line 7, company driver that taxes a trip originating in the municipality in the same manner that other services are taxed in the municipality is the language that was used.
Senator Michiki, follow.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The DOT section that was added by the request of the department, did they say why? Is that so they can just get a cut of the action?
Senator Bishop, through the chair, I believe that their main concern had to do with Ted Stevens International Airport and some of the traffic concerns and traffic flow through the area and being able to have some control over that as well, and I am not sure if there will be money involved in that.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you. I'll call DOT. I know they're probably not online, DOT. I can follow up with a little bit, because they're going to enter into a lease with the Lyft company. Just curious. I think it's got to do with money. That's fine. I just want to know.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Other questions? Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And mine was on the same section because I was an early adapter of network companies when they first came out 5 or 6 years ago in the lower 48. And I remember going to trying to get using the services in some ports they weren't allowed to go into and they were restricted. So was there any discussion when you did have that DOT in a hearing or the sponsor with DOT that there would be any attempt, because it kind of defeats the purpose, particularly from my area? I think that transportation network companies will be very popular for people from the Palmer area going to the Ted Stevens National Airport, and I want to make sure they can actually get dropped off on the property in a convenient place. Was there any conversation about that being restricted as part of this contract arrangement?
Senator Hughes, through the chair, that was not DOT's intention, was to restrict it. I believe it was to have some form of control and regulation over the area, but the sponsor wanted to guarantee that rides could go and originate from Ted Stevens International Airport, and this language was done so that they could have some amount of control, but not to restrict it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. I would ask Senator Bishop, the operating budget chairman for DOT, if you could, on behalf of the committee, inquire as to Senator Hughes' question that had been mine originally when we had Senator Costello's bill in front of us, that when we actually had a it wasn't a cab, but it was a chauffeur's license that was issued to try to provide service to the Eagle River area, that a DOT placed that provider in an inconvenient location, which drove away business and people couldn't locate the vehicle to actually acquire the pickup, and the drop-off was inconvenient also. So if you could speak with the commissioner on our behalf, that would be helpful, and ask for Senate Finance to receive a copy of the regulations that are implementing this portion of the statute. I would appreciate that. I'm sure my staff is writing that down, too, so that we can make sure that we make our own inquiries, but that would be helpful. Are there other questions to Representative Wohl's staff, Laura Steidolf?
One more.
Senator Michicki.
I just have one more. So when page 14 begins with line C, municipality made by ordinance ratified by the voters in a regular municipal election prohibit transportation network companies from conducting activities under AS 28.23 within the municipality. Would that include, I don't notice a from point of, unless it's the terminus of the trip. Is that saying that you can enter into a municipality that decides they're not going to have transportation network activities?
Senator Michicki, through the chair. I believe that the driver could drop someone off in that municipality, but could not pick up a rider.
Thank you. I don't.
Senator Michicki.
I'd be curious to see if it's clarified somewhere, because it clearly breaks out the sales tax trip originating in the municipality, but I'm looking for something explicit on the. You couldn't do a drop-off in a municipality that chooses to not allow transportation network companies. We can look at that later, and we can talk offline if you know where I can find that later, I think. Thank you.
Senator Michicki, I think it's an excellent point. We can add that to our request to the Commissioner of DOT. I believe it can be handled in regulation, but nice to have a legal interpretation of the origination point versus the destination point, so that you can enter a municipality to drop off of folks but not pick folks up. That is my understanding of the function of the bill. Is there any different understanding? Thank you. As this bill moves from committee, guidance for those that are writing the regulation would be that on page 14, lines 10 through 13, that our understanding of that interpretation is that someone could be dropped off, but a trip could not originate from a municipality that by voter-approved opt-out institute this portion of the code. Any clarifications to that understanding from the committee? Ms. Steidolf, thank you for joining us in Senate Finance, and your companion has been very well behaved today. Congratulations. I'd like to invite Senator Costello to the microphone. Welcome to Senate Finance, Senator Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
For those that have not followed this issue that may be listening at home, Senator Costello has a companion bill sitting over in the House in the Rules Committee, I believe. This is the companion bill to that. We had extensive public hearing on Senator Costello's bill. Senator Costello, could you provide us comments on the House bill that's been brought to us?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My position on the bill remains unchanged from when you had me before this committee to introduce Senate Bill 14.
Thank you. Do you have comments at all for our consideration? Thank you. The last person that we have to bring before the committee for inquiry or comment is Anna Latham from Commerce. Anna, could you join us at the microphone if you have questions on the fiscal note? Senator Bishop, would you like to walk us through the fiscal note, and then maybe that would provide questions, or we could have Ms. Latham do it?
I'd love to hear from Ms. Latham.
Ms. Latham, okay. Could you walk us through the fiscal note?
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Anna Latham, Deputy Director, Division of Insurance. The Division of Insurance submitted a zero fiscal note for HB 132. This is not, I can go ahead and go through our analysis if you'd like, Madam Chair. This has not, there have not been any substantive changes from the Senate bill that you heard previously to House Bill 132 that's before you.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Thank you, Ms. Latham. The second fiscal note, Senator Bishop.
Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Thank you, Madam Chair. Workers' compensation is the appropriation. The allocation is workers' compensation. The OMB component number is 344, and that is a zero fiscal note. This legislation adds an exemption to the Workers' Compensation Act for transportation network drivers. There is no action required by the department resulting from this legislation, therefore, zero fiscal note.
Thank you. Are there comments from committee members on the CS for House Bill number 132, Labor and Commerce? Senator Bishop, you have a motion.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 132, version 30-LS0522/I. From committee with the attached zero fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there objection to moving the CS for House Bill number 132, Labor and Commerce? Seeing and hearing none, the bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. Is there anything else to come before the committee? We have a meeting scheduled for 9 a.m. tomorrow. At this point, we don't have a bill scheduled on that. We certainly have bills previously heard, and we'll stand at we'll see what happens tomorrow. We thought we were gone 30 days ago. We'll hope that we'll be gone tomorrow, but the budget, as I understand it, has not been resolved. So we will see what happens tomorrow, but we do have a meeting scheduled for 9 a.m. should we need to meet.
It's down to the call of the chair tomorrow.
It's call of the chair tomorrow. We're adjourned.